Laura Bush made a speech at the weekend. It was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, attended by about 2,500 media flunkies, their bosses and various celebrities. The gathered guests were to be treated to a homily by George the Shrub, but halfway through Laura decided to butt in, literally. If we examine what she said and match it to what we know about the Shrub and his family, we find, as we do in all good comedy, a kernel of truth and a reflection of the reality it sends up. Laura has been a rising media star since George the Lesser began his presidential run. Carefully media managed, her role in the second Bush White House was to be seen as a model wife. Not like that Hillary Clinton bitch who every American knew wore the pants in the Clinton household and who could drink, smoke and cuss with the best of them. No, Laura Bush was to be the quintessential all-American mum. Not steely brittle like her mother-in-law Barbara, whose hair was said to scare small animals and US senators, but more like the nice aunt, who always sends a hanky for your birthday wrapped inside a card with a picture of a fluffy kitten on it. And so it was that last Saturday night we got an insight into how the ruling class, and not only the ruling class in America, view their role. They see it as a joke. A joke that only arrogant power brokers could allow to go on public display. Instead of talking to the press about their role as the Fourth Estate and how they had better stop their ass-licking, to quote Mark Latham, and toadying to the power brokers on the Hill, George and Laura took it upon themselves to descend into mockery of what had been, up until then, the most revered office in the universe. Take, for instance, her reference to how the Shrub is in bed by 9 p.m. every evening. She makes light of George's promise to rid the world of terror and tyranny by telling the crowd that she admonishes him regularly that he has to stay up later if he wants to win the war on terror. However, during the run-up to last year's election, she told a grand old party rally that, quote, "I'm so proud of the way George has led our country with strength and conviction," unquote. Yet, according to her and many others, George is safely tucked up in bed by nine. I suppose the irony was really lost on her as she made that observation. In her speech to the grand old party convention last year, she spoke about how she watched the private agony of her husband as he wrestled with the decision to go to war with Iraq. In the same speech, she said that he had boundless energy and enthusiasm for his job and for life itself. She went on, "He treats every person he meets with dignity and respect, the same dignity and respect he has for the office he holds." Laura also told that same convention, "These are times that require an especially strong and determined leader, and I'm proud that my husband is that kind of leader." Is this the same guy she took the piss out of? I guess George hasn't met too many Iraqis he respects and whose dignity he upholds. In her Saturday night press club speech, Laura also told us about George the Simpleton's attitude to farming. She told the assembled media practitioners, quote, "George's answer to any problem at the ranch is to cut it down with a chainsaw." Obviously, she was making reference to the White House attitude to the rest of the world. That is, if you bother us, we'll cut you off at the knees. We know from a range of sources that George II is neither bright nor inspired. We also know that he can't say nuclear. What we witnessed last Saturday night was a display of arrogance that cannot go uncommented on. It was a show that needs reviewing and critiquing. We cannot afford to let it go unanswered. Back in August last year, Lady Bush, or should that be consort, like all good emperor's wives, appeared on the ultra-right-wing Fox Network program, The O'Reilly Factor. On that program, the host asked her why it was that Bush got such a bad rap in the international press. She replied, "I think part of it is envy. I think it's also partly because we are the only superpower left. You know, it's no longer the Russians and us. You know, we have such a preeminent role in the world and, you know, we're affluent. I think they look at that. No, Europe isn't." Whatever that means. Laura's comments on the O'Reilly Factor and her speech at the weekend show an arrogance that reflects the attitudes of those who know they hold the guns. She demonstrates an understanding of the world in which, according to the ruling class mindset, there are the haves and the envious. not the have-nots, because that would be impossible under their worldview. They believe that if someone is down and out, it's because that's what they choose, and if that's what they choose, then they should not complain. Where were the cries of anguish and outrage from the assembled media last Saturday evening? Where were the reports from those defenders of the public and the ones who stand in our stead and mediate on our behalf? They were, of course, struck mute, as they have been for years. They will not bite the hand that feeds them. The corporate media will only rarely hold up to scrutiny the trash that is what we call modern politics. It is a brave media flack indeed who will write the truth these days. The White House Correspondents' Association is the collective that, like our own parliamentary press corps, makes sure that every member toes the line and doesn't rock the boat. The members of these organisations know that if they step out of line and successfully publish something damaging to the institution, they will all suffer. In short, an effective system of peer pressure is entrenched and working well to keep troublemakers out and those on the inside in line. These media flacks live in a symbiotic relationship, which means they have to leech off their hosts, but not too much, otherwise they will kill off the organism that feeds them. Their hosts understand that if they kill off the parasites that feed off them, their health will also suffer. So, like all good symbiotic relationships, a compromise is achieved via evolutionary processes. An agreement is struck. In the case of the press corps or the association, it goes something like this. The ruling class tell the media bosses, "We'll allow you to berate us, ridicule us, and even oppose us in print, so long as you remember who makes the rules." The press barons respond by saying, "We'll print your drivel and make sure our reporters get your message out, as long as you don't hinder our ability to make a buck." In order to make sure this relationship is maintained in some form of equilibrium, the frontline reporters in this war for truth and clarity must be trained to not ask bothersome questions. Part of this training involves great pomp and ceremony. We all like to be made to feel we're important, and being invited to a major function at which pop and movie stars and rich people will be may be enough of an enticement for some to abandon their ethics and dig in. That's how come Laura Bush was able to make a joke of the most powerful office in the world. Emperor Bush doesn't need a court jester. He has his wife. What we need to ask ourselves is why we allow the joke to continue for even a day longer. Enough. The Americans will have to deal with their system. Here in Australia, we need to embark on some action of our own. The joke is on us, and the longer we allow it to continue, the worse off our society will be. While there is a time to laugh, just as there is a time to cry, it's time we woke up and realised that the joke is at our expense. I'm Shane Elson.